everything was beyond our control, I would like to apologize on behalf of us to everyone who was inconvenienced and unable to attend midnight mass or Christmas mass. You have our sincere apologies. Two days ago, we celebrated the Feast of our Lord. He chose to be born in a stable. He didn't have to, but it was his choice. I wonder how well we understand the poverty of the stable. How well do we understand the spirit of that poverty? I'm going to read a very short excerpt from the life of Laura Ingalls Wilder, a real American girl, a pioneer, who lived in the Southwest back in the times when what we today consider poverty was for them a way of life. It was the only existence they knew. Today, what we call poverty, for them, was almost a luxury. For a few days before Christmas of this particular year, it had been raining for many days, the creeks were flooded, and because of that, the parents were unable to get to town to get anything for the girls' Christmas, for Laura and her sister Mary. Their neighbor, a Mr. Edwards, knew this. He took it upon himself to walk in the freezing rain to the nearest town of 40 miles and walk back. And in the process, he had to ford a couple of flooded creeks simply so the girls would have something a little special for Christmas. It's Christmas morning. And the night before, Laura and Mary had hung their stockings by the fire, but they knew Santa could not make it to their house. The mother has just taken the gifts Mr. Edwards brought and put them in the stockings. And now I quote, "Then Ma said, 'You may look now, girls.' Something was shining bright in the top of Laura's stocking. She squealed and jumped out of bed. So did Mary. But Laura beat her to the fireplace. And the shining thing was a glittering new tin cup. Mary had one exactly like it. These new tin cups were their very own. Now they each had a cup to drink out of. Laura jumped up and down and shouted and laughed. But Mary stood still and looked with shining eyes at her own tin cup. Then they plunged their hands into the stockings again, and they pulled out two long sticks of candy. It was peppermint candy, striped red and white. They looked and looked at that beautiful candy, and Laura licked her stick, just one lick. But Mary was not so greedy. She didn't take even one lick of her stick. Those stockings weren't empty yet. Mary and Laura pulled out two small packages. They unwrapped them, and each found a little heart-shaped cake. Over their delicate brown tops was sprinkled white sugar. The sparkling grains lay like tiny drifts of snow. The cakes were too pretty to eat. Mary and Laura just looked at them. But at last, Laura turned hers over, and she nibbled a tiny nibble from underneath, where it wouldn't show. And the inside of that little cake was white. It had been made of pure white flour and sweetened with white sugar. Laura and Mary never would have looked in their stockings again. The cups and the cakes and the candy were almost too much. They were too happy to speak. But Ma asked if they were sure the stockings were empty. Then they put their arms down inside them to make sure. And in the very toe of each stocking was a shining, bright new penny. They had never even thought of such a thing as having a penny. Think of having a whole penny for your very own. Think of having a cup and a cake and a stick of candy and a penny. There had never been such a Christmas. End of quote. And we think we have a hard time. Every time we have to get in a car and drive a mile down to get a gallon of milk. Or when our neighbor across the street, who we can't stand, needs a little assistance. We can't make the effort to go across the street and help them. My good people, nobody knows what's going to happen in the next couple of years. But everything is pointing to the fact that something is going to happen. And something already is happening. From all the information we are getting, more and more people are preparing for something. And that in itself is already causing short supply of many items. And as this gets tighter, more people are going to even start panicking. If we don't understand the poverty of Bethlehem, if we don't practice the spirit of that poverty and the poverty of Nazareth, how can we hope to cope with the poverty of the cross when that is asked of us? All throughout his life, our Lord was harping, if you will, upon the necessity of our being prepared. Not so much physically, but mentally and spiritually. If we find it hard today to drive a few extra miles to help somebody or to go to Mass or whatever, if we find it hard to eat supper because we don't like anything that's placed before us, what are we going to do when we have no choice and we start getting a little hungry? I don't mean the kind of hunger where you can think, oh, all I have to do is go to the store and I'm okay. It's easy to be charitable to our neighbors when we know that all we have to do is go to the store and replace whatever we gave. But how many of us are going to find it that easy to give a loaf of bread to our neighbor whom we can't stand, when we ourselves are almost starving and don't know where our next meal is coming from? Will we be able to give that loaf of bread away? Not to mention laying down our life for our neighbor. If we can't lay down our life or even conceive of the idea of laying down our life for our neighbor, either literally or figuratively, then we're kidding ourselves when we say that we are prepared to give our lives for God. In the last less than 100 years, life has become too easy for us, for the developed countries, generally speaking. From less than 100 years ago, all the way back to the beginning of time, as I said earlier, what we today consider poverty was a matter of fact. It was existence. They knew no different. Are we prepared to go back to those times if that's what happens? We can kid ourselves all we want to that this is all a bunch of hullabaloo, that somebody's just pushing the panic button. But our Lord himself told us, you know neither the hour nor the day. I will come as a thief in the night. The five foolish virgins said the same thing that so many people I know today are saying. Oh, we don't need to worry. They're just talking. Even if the year 2000 didn't exist, all that I'm saying would still hold true, especially as regards the spiritual preparation. If each one of us is prepared for death at any given moment, if our hearts and souls are centered on God, we really have nothing to worry about. Because when the time comes that we're asked to suffer the poverty of the cross, we'll say, yes, Lord, and we'll lay down our lives. We'll give up that loaf of bread so that our neighbor can eat. We don't know what's going to be asked of us in the next few years, the decisions we will have to make, the moral dilemmas we will be placed in. It's never too late to start thinking along those lines and playing the what-if game and standing back and asking ourselves, what will I do then? And we answer that by asking ourselves, what do I do now? Do I make good use of all my time? Am I detached from all things, including my own will and my own self-interest? We marvel at the times back in Lord Ingalls' time, back in the medieval ages, back in the time of our Lord. We marvel at all that was accomplished with a whole lot less than we have today to accomplish with. We marvel at the time they had to do things. They didn't have any more time than we do today. They simply knew how to make proper use of it because their lives depended upon it. Just look at our own day. Just pick one day out of our lives and examine it. How much of that day is spent for God through the love of our neighbor and our families? And how much is spent for our own comfort, our own self-interest, our own pleasures? Today, what used to not even be thought of as luxuries in Laura Ingalls' time, they couldn't have dreamed of these things. They were beyond the realm of imagination. All these pleasures and recreations and toys and things, they've become almost necessities for us. If you want to try an experiment, unplug your TV and your radio for a whole month. Discontinue the newspapers. Doesn't sound like much. I wonder how many of you, because we don't watch TV, I wonder how many of you can hold out a whole month. I'm not saying you have to, but to show you how attached we can become to things. My good people, it is of the utmost necessity that we come to understand and to live the true spirit of the poverty of the crib and of Nativity, and of Nazareth, so we will be prepared for the poverty of the cross, which no one can escape. Now please kneel, and on behalf of the community, I will give you a special Christmas blessing. Benedictio Dei Omnipotentis, Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, descendit super vos et maniat semper. Amen. May God bless each one of you and guide each one of us in the times ahead.